Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 15. And it happened when our enemy heard that it was known to us and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. So it was from that time on that half of my servants worked at construction, while the other half held, what they told? They held the spear, the shields, the bows, and they wore armor. And the leaders were behind all the house of Judah, those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens, loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other held a weapon. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built. And the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me, Nehemiah. Verse 19. Then I said to the noble, the rulers, and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive, and we are separated far from one another on the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. Spirit of the living God, we thank you this particular moment. This particular moment you have etched in heaven and you have etched in the earth. Your plan, your will, your desires. Father, we find ourselves in complete compliance in 2023 with what your will is in this earth realm. We decree and declare, not our will, but your will be done. Father, we surrender ourselves to the greatest degree. And now we allow you to guide us, to lead us, to instruct us so that we will see the best in this life that you have caused us to live. We thank you for the gathering, both physically and through streaming, that you would do something so amazing today that people will be at odds and the world will know that you are God. We thank you for your will. We thank you for your way, and we thank you for your plan. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen, and amen. We're about to put some people at awe. Look at your neighbor and say, ah. Go ahead and take your seats in the presence of the Lord. Now, in this portion of scripture that I've been directed by the Spirit of the Lord in these few weeks of the beginning of this year to dissect and also gain strategy from, I think it's very important that we look at these particular scriptures, because based on what I'm seeing in scripture, and I'll even look back and elaborate it today with my wife earlier this morning, that much of what we see happening in church doesn't fit the Bible. Now, I know there's a lot of people who love good praise and worship, and they love, you know, everything to do with music, and they love everything to do with elevations of different people. But what I notice in the Bible is they're putting together a bunch of warriors, not just worshipers. I think some of us pastors over a period of time have gotten upset with one another because worshipers transferred, but we should have been building warriors. So in my life, you have to excuse me that I didn't focus in on a keyboardist or a major singer. But I felt like the people who were before me were warriors that I needed to teach worship. The only reason you have been challenged like you've been challenged and you can't sing and you can't play is because you are a warrior. Okay? So if you properly look at your Bible, you look at Nehemiah, you look at David, you look at Moses. Moses had to teach them how to war after they left 430 years of bondage. Okay? So I want to change your thought pattern. This is a very positive season, but we have to change our thought pattern. Okay? Music people, my daughter's a drummer. They should not be offended by what I said. If they are, something's wrong with them. Because God's looking at you all. And after you're done worshiping, he wants you to take care of business. I'm going to say it again. After you're done worshiping, clearing your thoughts, forgiving everybody that you're offended with, getting things cleaned up, go outside of this place and do some kingdom business. Now, I understand my assignment. I understand my job, and I have enough success behind my work to say I do know what I'm doing. And I have to trust God in order to continue in that line. So my first point is, under Nehemiah's leadership, they were unified, alert, and prepared to fight if necessary. Based on what I read in this entire chapter, they were unified, they were alert, and they were prepared to fight if necessary. They were unified, they were alert, and they were ready to fight if necessary. Now, I want to take you somewhere, and Apostle Riley, I want you to catch this. And I know some races work well just following a written vision. But there is a culture of people that you can write the vision, but if they don't have a leader they can see, they won't unify. So some races of people need more than a statement on the wall. If you want to scatter people, the Bible says, smite the shepherd, scattered the flock. I believe he was talking to African American people. For great accomplishments and great tasks, there has to be a Nehemiah who understands the assignment of God on his life and the well-being of the people that he's leading, so that you can rally the people around a voice and a statement. Without that, you're going to have division. It doesn't matter how large the groups are. If there's not a single individual people of color can see, there's going to be chaos. You think about it. Under Nehemiah's leadership, they were unified. Under Nehemiah's leadership, they were alert. Under Nehemiah's leadership, they were prepared to fight if necessary. Now, I've been rehearsing this for some months now, and I've been asking God, what is the problem? The problem is that some can rally around a vision with no leader and build an entire city. But there are some of us, if we don't have leadership, if we don't have a physical person that we can see on a platform or on video, then we will scatter. Which means we will waste our resources, our energy, and our efforts. So under Nehemiah, the Bible said that they were unified. It said they were alert and they were prepared to fight if necessary. Let's go to the next point. Stay with me. I just want to talk to you this morning. I got a little bit more information that you're going to see on the screen, but you know how to take notes. It is, listen to this. It is relatively easy to attack a victim when he is unaware of the danger. It is relatively easy to attack a victim when he or she is unaware of the danger. These particular people that were under Nehemiah's leadership, they were not victims. They were victorious. Let me add a little bit more. It is quite another task to attack when the target fully expects it. It is quite another task to attack when the target is aware of that attack. It's a totally different ballgame. The only reason that young man is still alive, talking about Jamar, is because there were paramedics on the sideline who responded quickly, did not allow delays. Why were they there? They had an expectation. They were aware that something could happen. I don't know how many games they sat there without anything happening, but they were aware. My responsibility is to not get caught up in the game, but to be prepared if anything were to happen. Okay. Stay with me. It is quite another task to attack when the target fully expects it. So, when you're doing what we do, and you're touching not just the region, but nations, you have to be fully aware that some stuff gonna jump off. The problem with many of you, you strive for success and you are not aware of your adversary. I am well aware of my opposition. You can't be this bold and have your faith with some level of seeing success behind it and not create some opposition. I'm sorry for those who think you're going to succeed and have no enemy. Put your head above water and you become a target. Let the apostle call your name publicly and you become a target. All right, let's just go on. Stay positive because all opposing plots will come to nothing. You stay positive. Stuff's going to go on. But you stay positive. Nehemiah's telling them, stuff's going to jump off. You stay positive. Some people that you thought was your homie going to turn on you. Stay positive. Some people that said Hosanna are going to say crucify him. Stay positive. Whatever plots, whatever schemes and conspiracies that come your way, you got to remember, you are the one. And if you were not the one, there wouldn't be any plots. Nobody plans or plots against something that's dead. Evidently, you got something to show. So in the scripture, they were plotting. Sanballat, Tobiah, Gershon, they were plotting. But the Bible said their plan came to nothing. A bunch of wasted energy trying to destroy what God is raising up. Put your hand on your chest, say, God is raising me up. Y'all okay? This is what's happening. God is frustrating the plans of your opposition. They can write that down. I didn't send that to them. You want to know why you see people so frustrated and you don't know that they're your enemy? They're frustrated because they were planning against you. God is frustrating the plans of your opposition. It just won't come together. It just won't come together. They've had several meetings about you. It just won't come together. They stayed up half the night talking about you. It just won't come together. They thought that nobody would come at 11 o'clock. It just won't come together. All the things they're doing to try to harm you, it just won't come together. You want to know why it won't come together? Because God will not allow it to come together. It wasn't that Nehemiah was so smart. It was because God would not let them be successful at their endeavor because it dealt with your demise. And God is not going to allow you the one, to be demised by someone with skill to plan but no ability to carry it out. Just because they can plan don't mean they're going to be able to carry it out. Which means there's a lot of wasted energy going into plotting and planning against you. Because you're already there. They just can't see it. See, when your heart and your mind is already in the place that you're going, and they trying to trip you up and you don't even know it was a trip. You thought it was a hurdle. You knew you were supposed to be running through troops, leaping over a wall. They were trying to trip you. You thought it was a hurdle that you were leaping over. You were excited about leaping over the hurdle. They were mad because it didn't stop you. Somebody just look at your neighbor. Tell them it's just a hurdle. It's just a hurdle. I've been jumping stuff all my life. It's just a hurdle. Get mad, it's just a hurdle. You just don't know how frustrated your opposition is now. While you sitting there fretting, no, you don't know how frustrated your opposition is right now. This morning, they barely made it into this year. They're so frustrated, they don't know what to do. Let's move on. Your morale is back. Your morale is back. Didn't say your strength, your morale is back. You take a licking and you keep on ticking. Your morale is back. What do you mean going to church? Your morale is back. You ain't going to church. You realize you are the church. Your morale is back. They didn't want to kill you. They wanted to kill your morale. They wanted you to second guess serving. They wanted you to second guess your commitment. They wanted you to question everything that you are. Let me tell you, you are the one. Your morale is back. Now, when your morale comes back, you can't close your eyes. Because if you close your eyes and become unaware, you'll lose your morale again. We are still vigilant while we work. You notice they were working, but they were watching. I used to pray with my eyes closed. Prayer is just as powerful with your eyes open. When you know you got something good, You got to stay vigilant. You got to keep your eyes open. You all in the Holy Ghost, but your eyes are open. And some that don't believe that, you can turn over to 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. And it tells you to be vigilant. Be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I don't know what lions in your house. I don't know what lions working with you. I don't know what lions sitting on the pew with you. But I do know this. You're sober right now. You're aware of what's going on around you. It's easy to sit with Judas when you're aware he is a Judas. You don't have to let Judas know that you know he's a Judas. The plan is over when you realize it's Joker playing you. But they can't play you when God makes you aware. It's not being paranoid. It's just being aware of my surroundings. I rub shoulders with tons of people I know don't like me. And I just get on their nerves because they can't get on my nerves anymore. Let me make an announcement. There are people that are not going to be able to get on your nerves starting today. As long as you know who they are, what they want, what the agenda is, don't let them get under your skin. You come too far to allow negativity to get under your skin. Next point, we are ready to work. Somebody say, I'm ready to work. Look at your neighbors, but say, and I'm prepared for war. I'm ready to lead, refresh into the greatest destiny that it could ever have. But there's also a warrior on the inside of me. The Bible said that there were some who had the weapon on their side. There were some that had others watching while they worked with both of their hands in construction. But there was always somebody watching. And you got to understand, just because I'm in construction mode doesn't mean I don't have a weapon close. I started to hang my sword around my waist and preach this message. Because at this point in my life, I'm busy with both hands. But don't underestimate what I got wrapped around my waist. See, you got to know how to be busy and aware. Or you got to have some real, genuinely sent by God friends that'll watch your back while you're working. Too many of y'all have people that you say are watching your back and you say are praying for you that don't like you. I walked up on some people one time. They didn't know I was listening. They were praying for me. And they were praying, God, keep him humble. Well, the Bible said all the apostles were praying that God would give them boldness. Now, what Bible you reading? I need boldness to do what I do. Stop trying to make me a lamb when I need to be a lion right now. They see leadership as intimidation. And anytime you carry a slavery mentality over in a free day, you will see leadership as a slave owner. Let's just do this. You don't have to call me apostle. You don't have to call me bishop. You don't have to call me pastor. Just call me coach. If you call me coach and I grab your face mask and say, tell you, you should have ran the other way, you will accept that and you'll go calibrate yourself and get ready for the next play. If I grab you by your jersey and say, why in the world did you hold on to the ball a little bit tighter? You would accept that because you think that's going to help you. Well, I'm not going to grab your face mask, nor am I going to grab your jersey, but I am your coach. And if you want to win in this season, in this life, you may want to listen. Somebody say Nehemiah was their coach. They did not give him a title. If anything, he operated like a governor. You got to understand, when you're great people, you need a coach. You need someone standing out there and said, well, you fumbled that time, but we're running the next play and we're going to give you the ball again. Some of y'all are about to get the ball again. What are you going to do in this play? You're the one. Are you going to take on the mentality of a loser because you had one or two fumbles? All right. So we're ready to work and prepared for war. As I go back to building worship teams and building music ministries, that are very important. They're extremely important. But if you don't have people who know what to do after worship, then I wasted my vocal cords. I wasted my skill. But I believe there's at least 300 people in this room, not to mention those who are streaming, that say, I know what to do after this session. Can I go further? The one who blew the trumpet was beside Nehemiah. He said the one who was blowing the trumpet, he was right there close to Nehemiah. The trumpet was a shofar prepared to sound the alarm at the slightest hint of attack. The ones who are closest to me have to be the most sensitive ones. They got to pick up on the attack before anyone else picks up on the attack. The problem is, if you're a great leader, you can't have a desensitized person close to you. They have to sound the alarm. They can't be caught up in the chatter. They can't be caught up in everything that goes on and all this and always confused about. They can't be those type of people. They have to be people who understand that you carry a sound in you that's going to keep all of us free. I'm giving you a strategy. I'm going to write all this down. I'm going to share it with other churches and other ministries and other countries. We're not the only one that's doing I Am The One Sunday. I went on because we had a later service, and I went on and I started looking at some of my brothers, and I saw them standing there with their I Am The One shirts on. It's contagious. It's really contagious. Somebody's realizing they're not junk, they are the one. The trumpet was a shofar prepared with a sound to alarm, or an alarm at the slightest hint of attack. Just the smallest thing that seems to be something that will derail the direction that they were going in. And churches, a lot of times, they're not designed correctly where the slightest negativity in it that can shift everything. See, the longer that thing stays splintered, the further off it's going to get as it goes. Some of y'all think it's going to fix itself. No, nothing in church fixes itself. It has to be addressed. Okay. All right. Are y'all still with me? All right. So this structure, this administration that's next to Nehemiah, let's talk about it. Become familiar with the sound that comes from my administration. This will defend against what? Oh, they don't have this. Possible ambush. I said, okay, I told Lady Darlene as we were driving here, I said, there's Biden administration. I said, there was Trump administration. There was Obama administration. And there's Stephen A. Davis administration. See, your problem is you're trying to do great things without an administration. Be humble. Stay humble. Be successful. Get an administration that looks out for your values, your desires, and your orders because they make a sound. You just all into Apostle Davis. They supposed to be. They're part of my administration. I'm paying them. What you think they're supposed to do? If I look around at my administration, they're more into you than they are into me, then they're going to be your administration because I'm going to send them to you. Wouldn't it be a mess if the Trump administration was in the Biden administration, somebody was in there that was totally for? I don't know why you ride those people around that you know are for your enemy. Oh, excuse me. That was just a personal thought that came out. So the church has to become familiar with the administration of the leader. This administration was familiar with Nehemiah. So when certain sounds were made, everybody knew what to do. See, if I'm not nervous, you should not be nervous. If I'm cool, you should be cool. But when I start getting up there, you should have been up there. Because something serious is going on. I think it was Bishop Jakes. He said that, I'm not alarmed when the stewardess is on the PA system. Even if we're in turbulence, I'm still good. It's when the pilot comes out there and starts talking. Then I get a little bit nervous. So until my administration starts being alarmed, you stay cool. Because behind every turbulence is an exotic place to land. Y'all missed that. Oh, we only going to the best, baby. Oh, no, we're not trying to land just on the other side of the highway. We're only going to the best that God has for us. Somebody say us. Okay. Lost half of the traditional deacons when I was talking about my administration. So you have to prepare for an ambush. Let's look at ambush just for a moment. Ambush is an attack by people lying in wait in a concealed position. It's not an ambush if you can see them. It's not an ambush if they don't blend in with the rocks and all the limbs. Nehemiah was preparing them for what was on the heart of the enemy, and it was to ambush them. So he said, listen, guys, work with one hand, war with the other hand. Because there's some jokers out there that have some plans for your demise. And he said, if you have to work with both hands, get you some good people praying for you, like about 107 of them. It's 100 and 7 people, possibly more now, that signed up to pray. They just signed up to pray. They didn't sign up to preach. They didn't sign up to sing. They didn't sign up to do anything. They signed up to pray. Because when you're doing great stuff, you need some good people praying. They watching. They sensing, hey, the temperature is changing and it's not for our good. So for those of us who think that you're going to do great things and there's not going to be some concealed positions that are going to be housed by people that feel like they can get you when you're not aware. See, don't ever let your celebration go so high you don't know what's going on around you. Some people are still celebrating certain things and the enemy has creeped in. And I'm saying be positive. You can only be positive when you're prepared. I am positive because I am prepared. Refresh only exists because I was prepared. Let me tell you what happened to me in 2016. In 2016, I went to my attorney in 2016. I said, I want you to go through and find out everything that my name is on, any documents, any boards that my name is on, and I want you to clean everything up, not knowing what was going to happen in 2017. So I want you to check everything about me. So they went through everything, everything about Stephen A. Davis, my Social Security number, my birthday. They went through everything. This is in 2016. They found a few things where I was on some boards that I didn't know I was still on. They saw where there was an organization, an academy that I was started that we never implemented. So they went through and they cleaned up everything, me not knowing January my father was going to die and I was going to be announced as his successor and everybody was going to Google me. Let me tell you something. For where you going, you got to make sure you're prepared because they're going to start Googling you for where you're going. See, that should have been at least 50 people shouting right there. Make sure that there's no outstanding warrants against you. And if they are, make sure you have already acknowledged it so they don't have any ammunition against you. Go ahead and tell your testimony and your story before they make money off of your story. I always like to take the ammunition out of my enemy's gun and give the gun back to him. As long as nothing's in the gun, all they can do is wave it. And I came to tell many of you today, all they can do is wave it. And if they can't scare you while they're waving it, they can't hurt you while you're doing what you do. So what do you mean we need to watch? In the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 41, it says, watch and pray. It says, watch and pray. It says, watch and pray. Some stuff going on behind the scenes. Watch and pray. As long as you're watching and praying, you ain't got nothing to worry about. Go ahead and live your life. Go ahead and enjoy everything that God puts in front of you. But the Bible says, watch and pray. I'm about to wrap it up. It's 12:31. Is this good stuff? Oh, you got 15 of y'all clapping your hands. So I guess the rest of y'all are opposition. If you're not the opposition, I need you to clap and say something. Because if you're the opposition, you're in trouble. I said, if you're the opposition, you're in trouble. Whatever you're playing is about to boomerang. And the same hands you talked against is the hands you're going to need laid on you. I got to wrap this up. It's a strategy. You got to have a strategy. We have a strategy. We're working things out. We know something wants to stop us. We happy, we positive, because it won't work. Somebody say, it will not work. Let's take it a little bit further. Let's put some scripture. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Now, they were singing about a sound. I don't have anything to do with the music selection unless I have something special. I think the only time I asked for something special may have been two times last year. So I have nothing to do with the selection on the songs. Okay? Whatever they sing, that's what they have come up with. And they sing that. There was a certain sound that was coming from what was next to Nehemiah. And you have to be so fine-tuned to the sound that you know that didn't come from Apostle Davis. That didn't come from his executive administration. You got to know the sound. Now, let me help you. Let me help you here. We all respond to the same sound that rallies us together. I don't care how many guest speakers I bring in here. There's a certain sound in this house. My pastor used to say, I as a pastor brought some of the greatest leaders in the entire world. I don't mind bringing in great people, but at the end of the day, I'm still the pastor. You got to be so accustomed to the sound of the house that when you hear anything, you know the right sound. And if it's the sound of your senior leader and it's the sound of the administration, that's a sign that you rallied. They were spread out. We're already multiple locations. I had a conversation through text message with the South Korea campus just this morning. We're spread out. We're building. We're advancing. So you got to know the sound. So when anything goes down, when you hear the sound, everybody rushes to that place where the sound was made. Tell your neighbor, you better wake up and you better get used to the sound. Because certain sounds bring us together. Certain sounds cause us to show up where we don't have to war. They so afraid of our numbers. They so afraid of the energy that we have that they don't want to come against this. They don't want to fight this. Because it's not going to just be one Stephen Davis that shows up. We didn't come to take sides. See, you don't build a little group here and a little group there. You rally a people that says, we may have been left out, but we're in. We know that we were called for such a time as this. We know that God has anointed us. We know that God has sent us. We know that God has called us. And we have something on us. And we are the ones shouted in the atmosphere. May have been broke down. May have been mistreated, may have been talked about, may have been criticized, but look at my chest. It tells you who I am. I am the one. You may have put me out. You may have tried to slaughter my character, but look at my chest. In spite of being nailed to the cross, I am still the one. In spite of being whipped publicly, I'm still the one. I don't know what you've been through, but if you know you're the one and you'll always be the one, whether you got on a shirt or not, jump up and shout with your brother. That's what the devil's afraid of. The devil's afraid of any place that there is a response. And since you're responding, a fresh anointing just dropped on your life. Slap your brother high five. Tell him we're rallying together. We're rallying together. Slap your sister high five. Tell him we're rallying together. We're rallying together. The devil's not afraid of you as an individual. The devil's afraid that we'll come together. If people of color start coming together, the devil gets terrified. Gangs are in trouble. Drive-bys are in trouble. Black-on-black crimes are in trouble. You want to know why? Because we have come together. Racism is in trouble. poverty-stricken neighborhoods are in trouble, because here we come. We are not the problem. We are the solution. And if you know that you are the solution, make some noise. We're about to make the governor's job a little bit easier. We're about to make the mayor's job a little bit easier. We're about to make the sheriff's job a little bit easier, because we are the one. Slap yourself on the chest. Say, we are the one.
If you're ever in the Birmingham area, we'd love to see you. Stop by, because everyone is welcome at Refresh Family Church. It's full of friendly people, a warm atmosphere, and a powerful word. Our service times are Sundays at 9 a.m. or our empowerment service on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We're located at 117 12th Court Northwest in Birmingham, Alabama. We'll see you soon at Refresh. Want to find out more about Apostle Stephen A. Davis? Well, log on, because StephenADavis.org is now live. That's right, log on to StephenADavis.org now, and you can find out all about him. Watch live broadcasts and get all the information you need at StephenADavis.org. Available on all platforms. Log on today. Refresh Family Church. As we worship together, remember our five goals: serving the needs of families, reaching the lost, equipping the saints, reaching the nations, and transferring to generations. At Refresh Family Church, we're more than just a church. We're a nation. To find out more, log on to StephenADavis.org. We'll see you next time.